Proverbs chapter 3 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck," like this necktie. It says faith, hope, and love. So bind this thing. Wear a necktie, see? Brother, where's Paul? I told him, remember, you heard I told him to wear a necktie? You're supposed to bind these things around your neck. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. Write them. Everybody take a pencil. I mean, just pretend. Okay, take your little pencil. Write them. That's telling you to write them. So God didn't say he's writing them. Actually, he said for you to write them. Y'all know how to write? Most of you? Can you write your name? Okay, that's good. Write them upon the table of your heart. Write them upon the table of your heart. Write these commandments upon the mercy and truth. Write mercy and truth upon your heart. So, in this way, you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Mercy and truth affect your relationship with man. Mercy and truth in your life affect your relationship with people. Amen? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We don't usually get all of our heart. Amen? All right, let me show you something. I've done it before. I'll show it to you again. This will probably make a big impact because I don't usually do this, do I? I only know how to write one diagram. Oops. But not with that pen. Okay. Remember, we have three circles. We have three parts. This is you. Okay. Who's calling? I turned mine off because that would really be funny. The preacher got a phone call. I've had people, yes, that's why I turn it off. I know you do that. All right. Here we have spirit, soul, and body. All right. Everybody remember that? Spirit, soul, and body. I don't have any red, so I'll use orange. How's that? Okay, can anybody read that somewhat? All right, spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is born again. Your spirit is the part that's regenerated. Your spirit is the part of you that God relates to. Those who worship me, God looks for those to worship him who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So when you come to the Lord, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, this is the part of you that the Father relates to, is he relates to you via the Spirit, okay? And then he fills it. I've done it. I have done it. All right. Yeah, I've left my cell phone on. Okay. So he relates to you in relationship to your spirit. Amen. You are born again. This is the part of you that is in fellowship with God. Now, a lot of folks have misinterpreted the scripture or only put the scripture as having two parts, which would be body and soul. But this is not true. This is true. The true you. Okay? The true you is body, soul, and spirit. Now, I'll put in here next to soul. Now, I don't even know if Jim agrees with me quite on this, but I don't think he's taking the time to look at mine. The fact is that I believe this, is that the heart is more prone in the Scripture to be used with reference to the soul. The heart is wicked above all things. Well, that's, now your spirit was dark beforehand, but see, in the Old Testament, the heart is desperately wicked, but many times in the New Testament, we're talking about the heart is something that has a process going on. The heart can be evil. The heart can be wicked. The heart can be, you know, deceived. The heart can be a problem. Anybody, have you read the scripture where the heart is like, wow, it just doesn't seem to be like the heart is really, you know, all got it all together. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, thank you. Okay, so this soul, I'm going to call it the heart of man, the heart. And that heart, when he's talking about this, here the scripture that we've been reading here, is you have a portion of the soul that is renewed. Let's see, have we got any other colors here? This is the renewed part, renewed part of the heart or the soul. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2, is the part of the soul that is being renewed. It says, you know, which the soul includes what three parts? Anybody remember? Mind, will, and emotions, okay? Well, y'all have been taught real good. Okay, so we have mind, will, emotions. Okay, so now we're talking about the mind, the will, and emotions. He says, renewing your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That means what? To be changed, to be made into something else. Anybody, there's a movie out called Transformers. When my kids were little, they were in a cereal box, right? Remember that? Yeah, we had some of those Transformers, you know. We'd always lose them, step on them, vacuum them up. You know, there was all kinds of things you could do with Transformers. And so you have this, it says, be ye transformed, changed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Be changed by renewing of your mind. Why? That you might prove or be an example or be a demonstration of, that's like writing mercy and truth on your heart, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove. And prove is like a proving ground, like where they race the cars around and see how long it is till they explode. See how many rounds they can make, you know, when they're testing out a new engine. They want to find out, you know, how long will it go. It's like teenagers do with your first car. You know, you just, you know, we got out on, Luke's old enough to where he'll probably not do this if I say it. I was telling you about it the other day. We got out on I-20 back in the 70s, you know, and Janet, it was that big green Delta 88 that I had. I had the big fancy car that I took her out in when we first met. And out there on I-20, there was nothing. I mean nothing. There was absolutely, especially out in Grand Prairie, there was absolutely, positively nothing. And except Gary Simon's church. That was out there on that corner. But you would get on I-20 and you would just jam that thing all the way to that 454 engine, all the way to the floor, and just see how fast and long that thing would go. Because there weren't even any cops out there at that time. Amen? See, anybody? Never mind. Anybody ever done that? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that was a proving ground, glory to God. I was going to prove that I could go faster than Johnny's javelin. How many remember javelins? I ain't old, that much older than y'all, and he's a kid. All right, javelin, remember the javelin. How many remembers AMC? And I don't mean the movie theater. All right, find out who I'm talking to here. All right? Now, so we've got a proving ground. I've got a proving ground out there. So that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Good, acceptable, and perfect is growth. Good, acceptable, and perfect is not, well, I'm just satisfied doing the good will of God. Going on to perfect, and going on to good, better, best. You know, in the Sears catalog, they used to have good, better, best, and you could choose whichever one you wanted, depending on how cheap you were. So I'd always look in the Sears catalog and tell my mom that I wanted the one that was the best, you know. Anybody remember that? Nobody ever had a Sears catalog? Monica? Okay, thank you. Just make sure I'm talking to people who are living in this world. I mean, these illustrations are pointless if you don't know what I'm talking about. But it's good, better, best. It's that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Say, that was the items you could choose from in Sears catalog. Good, acceptable, and perfect. And perfect was very expensive. How many know that the perfect is very expensive to your flesh? Perfect. Get and find something perfect. That perfect diamond, that stone, that pearl of great price, is he sold everything and went and got it. He sold everything and went and got that pearl of great price. It costs everything, doesn't it? And to do the perfect will of God costs everything. It costs everything. Hallelujah. Everything that you have, everything you'll ever have, it costs everything. Praise the Lord. But that's okay, because you don't have anything that's of worth to keep, do you? Well, you know, I got stuff I like to do, stuff I'm used to. Give it up. Hallelujah. Like I haven't done. But to give it up, to get rid of it. This is a proving, this transformation, it's a proving, your mind is that proving ground, that you be you transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you might prove. The next step is the proving, that you might prove. What is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Now, a lot of the times, in some areas, you're growing, in some areas, much faster than in other areas. I mean, you may be free financially, but in bondage emotionally, or in bondage with your family, or in bondage with some other sin. So sometimes people grow and they look mature, but they're not. Sometimes people grow in certain areas that tend to make them outwardly look mature, but they're absolutely immature. He says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Okay? So here we have the heart. So that heart is somewhat renewed, but it is also somewhat unrenewed. Okay, we'll put unrenewed. We'll underline un. Okay? And so there's that portion that may be, it may just be on good. It may not be even that far. God may not have even found you in that area yet. He may not have even opened that closet where stuff falls all on top of you. Okay? So now, we have a spirit, we have a soul, and a body. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. These three, mind, will, and emotions, are being transformed. They're being transformed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? Say, thank you, Jesus. That's it. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove. See, your mind is big time in the way. Your head is big time in the way. Why? Because you have been taught how to live in this world. You've been taught how to live right here. And the Word of God, what we're talking about right now, is the fact that the law of God, the Proverbs of God, the wisdom of God is what will change you. And if you will avail yourself of that wisdom, if you'll avail yourself of that, then you'll be transformed into a new world. Okay? Now, I'm going to erase this because y'all know it. Okay? And I'm going to draw up here something a little bit different. Not different, unusual, but different than what I had. Okay? Now, we have this. Whoop. I don't use those anymore. Okay, we have this world. And we have the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. Okay, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. I can see why Jim doesn't like this thing I bought for him. Makes you look good, but it sure is a pain to keep in your ear. This world, and you have the kingdom of heaven. This world is where I was born. I was taught. I love this world. Amen. This is your flesh. This is the unrenewed. Remember that was brown anyway? Unrenewed. Or maybe it was a different color. I can't remember. How do you spell unrenewed? Unrenewed. Yeah. Okay. Now over here, we've got the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. I was born from above, as Paul said this morning. I was born from above. I am being taught. Now you remember that other scripture, and I didn't put that over here. But here, I was saved, am being saved, that is being taught the Word of God, and I am being saved. I look for a city whose builder is God. Whose builder is God. Okay, I look for a city, and that is, shall be saved. That is the resurrection. All right? Shall be saved. So where I am saved, I was saved, I'm being saved, and I shall be saved. Everybody say that. I was saved, I'm being saved, and I shall be saved. So there are three levels, three areas that are going on here. All right? So this world, I was born here, was taught here, and I love this world. I just, you know, this world is what I'm familiar. That's a good word, okay? Let's say that. I am familiar. I am familiar. Everybody say, I am familiar with this world. Okay? Yeah, y'all are good, obedient people. I am familiar with this world. That's why it's comfortable. I could write on there, I am comfortable with this world. Aren't you comfortable with this world? Well, this world is hell. I don't want to live here. This is, world is bad. You know, some people, they just, you know, give up their, they kill themselves rather than live in this world. You know, obviously they don't have another option, another choice that they know of. But the fact is that I am familiar with this world. I love this world. It's comfortable here. Just because I know my way around, you know, it's comfortable to be in a place that you know your way around most of the time. You know, there are places that you go, even in Africa or in other parts of the world. If you brought them here, they would be, I mean, until they learn their way around, totally uncomfortable. I mean, mama isn't here. Mama ain't cooking. You know, it's not what I'm used to. And I am used to certain things in this world. And granted, they are a comfort to me. I'm used to being able to whine, cry and complain. Maybe I'd like to be able to steal from time to time to get what I need. You know, I'm just comfortable. I know my way around. I know how this world works. I've talked about how you used to flip it on the light switch. Well, if I flip on the light switch, 99 times out of 100, I'm going to have some light. You know, I know how to go turn on the coffee pot. I know how to, you know, cook me a omelet on my little omelet cooker. Janet would disagree with that. But I don't do that when she's at home. Honey, what are we having? Okay, now, kingdom of God, as I was born from above. I am being taught the Word of God. I am looking for a city. That stuff actually is not comfortable. That stuff is not comfortable for a good long time. The part that makes it comfortable is that you have heard the truth, you have heard the Word of God, and God says, I love you, and I am going to be with you for eternity. You are going to be with me for eternity. I will meet all your needs. I will care for you. I love you. You are learning, but you learn that when you come. You learn that when you come and bring yourself among the saints. You learn the truth. Again, here in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. So this is renewing your mind. This is renewing your mind. This is bringing the Word of God, the Word of truth, to your mind. Norman preached a message, and he's going to preach it here. And No, he didn't. I thought I'd saw a. When I said that, I thought I would saw, like, you know, on the cartoons where you see the whoosh, and that's all that's left of the person who just ran out the room. Well, see, a while back, that's all you would have seen of Norman if I said he was going to preach this message, is you would have seen the whoosh, because, you know, it just wasn't comfortable. Amen. There's that guy I said he could probably play three bass drums. He don't look too weird. He's okay. Hallelujah. All right, now listen. So, yeah, he's going to preach that message. Awesome, awesome message Norman preached on the gospel. But he has heard the gospel. He has heard the gospel day in, day out, time after. He's always listening and hearing. He's availing himself of the Word of God. He read the Word of God, and he's a perfect disciple. Not. Praise the Lord. Not a perfect disciple. He's not a perfect boss. As Luke, you know, he's not a perfect boss. You know? Amen. Praise. Yeah. Hallelujah. Would you like to stand up and testify again? Hallelujah. Neither is John a perfect employee. Praise the Lord. Okay? But listen. So, but he is hearing the Word of God. Norman, again, is hearing the Word of God. He's been filled up with the gospel, the love of the Lord, the love of God, the understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we preach to you. That's why we teach you. That's why you show up here, is to be filled up with the gospel. Amen? That's why you have a Bible like this, or two or three at your house, near your car, in your office, if you can get by with it. Is that you have the Word of God. You have, he says in other place, he said, post it upon the doorposts of your house. Remember these things. Paul says, I'm going to preach these, and Peter says it, I'm going to preach these things to you until I'm dead, so that you always have them in your remembrance. That's what this renewing of your mind is all about. And the fact that you now live, even though your body, now we have to say, I can go up here, and divide that heart, body, mind, soul, body, soul, and spirit thing up again. And I could say body over here, soul, and spirit. Okay? You could say that here. And then, of course, we have that soul is one and two. Renewed or unrenewed on that side, and renewed on this side. Okay, so we have that body was born in this world, and your mind was born in this world. Your will was born in this world. Your emotions were born in this world. Anybody not born in this world? And we have a whole different message now. Anybody who wasn't born in this world, born to parents of this world, born to a man and a woman. And I got news for you. If you can make up anything else and say it was born of something else, you know, two men have a baby or something, you know. Well, they got that baby egg from a woman, I guarantee you. I don't care if they put it in a man and made him pregnant. I don't care what kind of science they come up with. It made it, you know, a man and a woman produced that child. A man and a woman produce that child. You are born in this earth to a man and a woman. Your body, your soul, and your spirit was unregenerate. You're born in sin, unregenerate. There is no life in you according to God. No life in you, no life of God in you. But God came by His Son to deliver you, to give you a life and an open door into the kingdom of heaven. And once He has done that, once He has spoken to your heart and your heart becomes born again, you become a member, a living, breathing citizen of the kingdom of God on the right here. From your spirit, the spirit begins to affect your soul. It begins to affect everything else. Your body even begins to be renewed, because He says that your body, your strength is renewed like the eagle. He says, by His stripes you were made whole. Amen? Even your body is affected by the Word of God, if you will renew your mind. Amen? Renew your mind. Bring your mind into renewal. Bring your mind into the Word of God. Begin to turn off the stuff that is keeping you from the Word of God. Begin to turn off too much television. Begin to turn off too much radio, too much music. Begin to put aside the things that are distracting you from the Word of God, because the Word of God is how you will grow. It's how you will grow. It's how you will be built up. Now, is there some kind of a law on this? Yes, the law of do it. If you don't plant a seed, are you going to get carrots or whatever? If you don't plant a seed, are you going to get anything? Yeah, I'm going to Tom Thumb. I'll just go get it there. Sorry, that's not what I'm talking about. I said, if you don't plant a seed of the Word of God on the inside of you, you're not going to get any harvest. You're not going to get any fruit. You're not going to get anything growing up. The Word of God produces the Word of God. You remember in the Old Testament? Here, let's read it. Not the whole Old Testament. Anyway, you go look and read in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, or 4. It talks about the fact that the seed, everything that God made, every fruit of the ground, every tree of the field, even every animal of the field, even you, by the way. Huh? 1, 12, 11. It wasn't 12, it was 11. And God said, I was trying to go further in. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, and fruit trees yielding fruit after its kind. I was trying to look in 2. Whose seed is in itself. A very interesting verse. Whose seed is in itself. In other words, it's got a seed, it's got a method of production already built in. Well, you know what? That's true of y'all. That's how come we have too many babies when people don't do the way they should do. You know? Is they start making babies before they should be making the babies, see? But the fact is that every person has seed in themselves. Every plant, every herb, every tree has seed in itself. And so it brings forth fruit. And God said it, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass. And then this is what happened. The earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good, and I think he did that with the cows too. Did that with the cows and the bees and everything else. Amen? Is that right? Remember that? Praise the Lord. So, now, listen. So, in doing so, this Word of God in Mark chapter 4 is seed. So, you put seed on the inside of you, and it begins to grow. Amen? And it begins to build, and begins to bring forth faith. Because the Word of God produces faith. And faith, you plant it again, it's like reinvesting your dividends. It produces more fruit. Amen? It produces more fruit. Is this making sense to anybody? All right. Just listen to it further. If somebody said no. All right. So here you go. You got that seed bearing fruit. You got that Word of God bearing fruit. So you're filling yourself up with God's Word. You just go, like John said earlier, you may not understand every bit of it. But God said His Word is seed. And and there's places in you, you remember now, we talked about what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, right? So you're starting out good, you know, like a little kid, you know, like Annie's, you know, kind of, you know, she's getting pretty steady, though. You start out, little kids, they start out bumping into things, and they're trying to walk, right, hanging into things, but they begin to get to where they can actually walk up, you know, and then they begin to get where they can run, and things begin to work. Things begin to, you know, begin to move, and you begin to see greater fruit and greater accomplishment out of that growth, all right? So in that growth now, see, you're having that Word of God building you up, strengthening you, reproducing itself on the inside of you. You're being transformed. We have the here over in Mark chapter 4. Mark. Sower sows the word, verse 14. And these that are by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan. So this is, some of it falls by the wayside. Satan comes in immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise that are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, but for a short time, and afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Persecution arises for the word's sake. Or because of the word, persecution. You say, hey, look what I found. See, y'all, that's no good. Throw that away. That's, man, you don't want none of that. That'll change you. That'll make you not our friend anymore. Yeah, that'll make you to where you can't come over to our house anymore. You can't be with us anymore. If you sit there and start spouting that, you'll get beat up, spit out, and we won't like you anymore. So, you know, for the persecution, for the word's sake. So it grows up and endures for a little time, but afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So, well, I gotta throw this thing away. I'm gonna lose my family, my friends over this. And they do. They just lose the word. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, everything else, envy, strife, the cares of this world, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things. Other things, that's a big category. The lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, verse 20. Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Everybody say that with me. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Say good, acceptable, and perfect. Now that's very interesting. 30, 60, 100. That's kind of like increasing in value, isn't it? Increasing in production. Let's look at good, acceptable, and perfect. Well, good. Looks like that. It looks like the same thing, doesn't it? Increasing in value or production, doesn't it? There's another place. It says, talks about increase from the context of an individual plant. It talks about first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Anybody agree that that would sound like growth? Maturing? Amen? See, these are the things that the Word of God does as a seed. It produces growth. If you will avail yourself of God's Word, open it up, read it, look at it, meditate on it. It says, I will meditate upon thee in the night watches. Amen? He says, you meditate on this Word of God over in, as you know, Psalm chapter 1 is one of my keynotes, scriptures that I love. And I enjoy, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's that this world stuff. He walks not in the counsel or the advice of the ungodly, nor stands in the way or the path that sinners go in. Let's see, what line is it for the sinners? I think I'll stand in this line behind, stand in the center line, because they seem to get some pretty good stuff. And, you know, I'll go up and wait until I can, you know, get to the front of the line and get my center stuff, because it seems like that's the best line to stand in, because you kind of get stuff that way. So you don't want to stand in the way or the line with sinners, all right? In other words, and you also get to talk to them, and they get to talk you into, hey, man, when we get up there and get our stuff, let's go do it. You know, remember the scripture where he says, hey, come on with us. Let's go wait for innocent blood. What does that mean? It means let's take that guy down and steal his stuff. Seems like a good idea. You know, if you're going to get stuff, you might as well take it from somebody who has it, right? I mean, why would you want to steal from anybody who didn't have nothing? I mean, it's not practical. You could get arrested. You could get killed. Might as well at least, you know, have some potential of getting some reward. Crooks are not stupid, are they? Did you hear this? I heard this morning. Driving in, is that last year at this time in Dallas, there were 65 bank robberies. This time in Dallas, aren't you glad you live in Fort Worth? There's 95 bank robberies. Now, I'll give you my assessment of that. Have you seen the banks they're building these days? Have you seen how many banks they're building these days? I mean, it's like a drive-through. You just walk into the bank and say, I could walk in just like this and say, Sector, I got a gun. Would you give me all your money? And you know what she has to do? The bank tells her she's got to give me all the money. How easy is that? And then they report that on the news. I'm in. Dave, you in? Let's just go. Let's go get us a bank.
Somebody did rob a drive-thru.
Yeah, I got a gun. You're in the drive-thru. Really? Just send out all your money. Oh, we got stupid world. Yeah. Oh, yeah, did you hear that? See, I'm getting his television. Who was watching that? One of my kids was watching this thing the other day. Where were we? Somebody was watching something the other day on TV, and they were making lollipops with bugs in them. Anybody see that? Caterpillars and stuff like that. So they're making the, yeah, you saying that, Nancy? In a store, they're selling them. People are buying them. Kids are buying them. Parents are buying them for their kids. You got, I don't think they use scorpions, but that's for the guys who like hot stuff. It's a scorpion and a lollipop or a popsicle. But yeah, this world, praise the Lord. You don't stand in the way of sinners. Just take my word for it. Okay? So blessed is a man who does not do these things. It almost sounds like a joke you find on the internet. Blessed is a man who does not do these things. If you want to be blessed, do not. Here's what not to do. Write yourself a little list. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Are y'all writing this down? You know what? Sometimes it's better for you to write it down sometimes than to go back and try to read it because you don't know quite how the guy said it. Or quite how it, you may not quite get what I said about it. So sometimes it's good for you to write it down. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I should have said buy the CD. Sorry. Ink's cheaper. So you're blessed if you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You're blessed if you don't stand in the line with the sinners. And you're blessed if you do not sit in the seat of the scornful. Well, I'd never do that. Usually you're kind of sitting here going like, it's like armchair quarterbacking. I'd never done that. I would have caught that ball. The seat of the scornful. Well, that was stupid. I'd never done it. Would you have done that? That was stupid. Do you see how idiot he was? The seat of the scornful. The guy who'll complain about everything and everybody else is doing. Is that you? Hallelujah. Is that me? Yeah. The seat of the scornful. Sitting in the seat of the scornful. Blessed are you if you do not sit there. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Everybody say blessed. See, you need to talk more. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my high tower, a very present help in the time of need. Boy, I'm in big trouble. Golly, things are looking bad. I will say of the trouble, it is my fear. It is my greatest fear. I will say of the trouble, it's coming on me. I will say of the trouble, it is bigger than my God. No, no, no. Let's go back to the Word. See, that's born in the world. Born in the world says, you speak about the trouble. You stand in the way of the sinners. You listen to the counsel of the ungodly. You sit in the seat of the scornful. That's the world. That's the world. That's the difference between living in this world, hearing this world, living with what you're comfortable with, and following the Word of God. Following God's promise. Following God's finished work. Listen, you've been born again. You have been changed from one kingdom to the other kingdom. You are now have been translated out of the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of His dear Son. You are changed. Don't feel changed. Don't look changed. Don't smell changed. You've been changed. Say, I've been changed. I have a new address. I'm in heaven. See, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven. That means our manner of living. But you know where the manner of living starts from? Your actual conversation. What do you say about yourself? What do you say about God? I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. See, in many scriptures, we're not doing a say message right now. We're just doing a think message right now. Here's what I think and here's who I am. But there's a say message we could do. I will say of the Lord. I will say these things. Say, say, say. And it's not like the say that says, well, you're going to produce a Cadillac out of your saying. That's not what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is that you are going to produce the truth of God's Word and replace and transform your mind. He said, be not conformed to this world. Conformed would be as if you took yourself and stretched yourself all out and just put yourself all around this world and made yourself look just like the world. You think about, well, a globe. You know, you can take a piece of clay and wrap it up and you can conform it all the way around a globe, all the way around a sphere. And, you know, that's what he's talking about conforming something. And you can use that visual to see, okay, am I being conformed to this world? Do I look like the world? Am I shaped like the world? Is there any difference between me and the world? And the answer, hopefully, is yes. Don't even recognize you as the world. You don't look much like the world anymore. Okay? Now, so we said, blessed is the man that does not do those things that we discussed there, walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful. Those are the guys. Blessed are the guys who don't do that, but blessed are the guys who do this. Blessed are you if your delight is in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is not just the law thou shalt not. The law of the Lord is that which God has set in place which can never be moved. Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, was the redemption for sinners. Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, blessed are you if you delight in the law of the Lord. You're delighting in the finished work that God created and finished and said, you are mine. I love you, and no matter what happens to you in your body, in your mind, in your soul, I will redeem you, and I will care for you, and I will lift you up, and I will bring you to myself. Blessed are you if your delight is in the finished work of the Lord, the law of the Lord. Does it mean the law? Yes, even the law, because the law is righteous and holy. The law will bring you life if you could do it, but you couldn't do it, so Jesus did it for you. Even the law of God, that the enemy perverted and transformed into his own. What did God say? You know what? God's really not for you. He's against you. If you'll just do what I say, if you'll hearken to the counsel of the ungodly, if you'll stand in the way of the sinner, if you'll sit in the seat of the scornful, you'll be blessed. You know what? That's a lie, isn't it? From the very foundation, the beginning of the world, Satan is a liar. He's the father of them. If you have something that is coming to your mind, coming to your flesh, against the Word of God, it's a lie. It said, blessed are you who delight in the law, the finished work of the Lord, and even His law of don't do this, because the don't do this is that you won't do it. You won't be against me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Man, thank God. I thought I was going to have to work that out. No, God made a promise to you, didn't He? Thou shalt not kill. Really? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Really? What a promise. If I trust Him, if I trust in His what He's done through Jesus, this is what He produces in me. Good, acceptable, perfect. 30, 60, 100. First the blade, then the... Be patient. Be patient. Hey, just because you're not perfect yet, just thank God. Be patient. Be patient. Don't just tell your neighbor to be patient. Don't tell your wife to be patient. Don't tell your parents to be patient. Tell yourself. Be patient. See, if you get impatient, you start running off and getting all bent out of shape. You start getting impatient, you start getting bored. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law does He meditate both day and night. So you put that law on your inward parts. God said He was going to put the law on your inward parts, didn't He? In Ezekiel, He said He's going to take out your stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. Put in a new heart. Put in a brand new heart. You got a new heart? Amen. He's putting in a new heart. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Isaiah 28. The word of the Lord was unto me. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Growth is slow. But He's come to dwell in your heart. He put His Spirit on the inside of you, didn't He? God has put His Spirit on the inside of you. Are you perfected? No. Are you going to be perfect? No. Are you good? Or are you right? Pastor Jim has been preaching, are you right? Are you right with Him? Yes! He has declared you right. By faith in Jesus, He has declared you right. You are righteous. You are in right standing with your Father. Right now. Right now. God is thrilled when we rejoice. Amen? He's thrilled when we rejoice. Rejoicing. And tell you what, rejoicing builds you up. Rejoicing will encourage you. If you will open your mouth and rejoice and sing and praise Him, it will cause you to have great joy flowing out of you. Okay? All right, we're going to work on this for a little bit more, and it will be done. So blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. In His law does he meditate, in that finished work, does he meditate both day and night. How often? Day and night. Now what that means is all the time. Because there's a lot of other stuff you can meditate on. How about all the stuff that everybody did to you? You can meditate on a lot of stuff. You can meditate on how your parents failed you. Amen. How your wife failed you. How your husband failed you. You can meditate on how the preacher preached too long. You could just meditate on everything that would be a distraction. Thank Him. Thank God for this long message. Somebody's going to get something at the end of it. And He shall be, okay, in His law does He meditate both day and night. That means all the time. What that means is, as well, I know what that means. It says what it means. Yeah, but you may not think of this aspect of it. It's day and night means all the time. I know I just said that. But day and night means there's never a time when the Word of God is not forefront and coming to you and just laying a deposit in front of you. It's like it's always in front of you. There is always a Word for you. There is always a Word that in His law, does he meditate both day and night? See, as you are renewing your mind, the Word of God begins to get into your mind and it begins to change your thinking. And your thinking begins to be changed. You start thinking like God thinks instead of thinking like the world thinks. Remember that stuff we talked about back here at the first verse? And remember the stuff over here we talked about in the world? If you're meditating now upon the Word of God day and night because it's in you, it's overtaking and overwhelming everything else that's in you. It's overwhelming and overtaking your old thoughts. The thoughts of how, you know, this is the way things is. It's overtaking and overwhelming everything that is already in your mind. That's what the Word of God will do. It's like a disease. The Word of God is like a disease, a good one. Good infection, praise the Lord, amen. It will overtake and kill the virus. You're filled with a virus in your old heart, your unrenewed mind and heart. You're filled with that sickness. You're filled with that lecherous disease, filled with leprosy. And you know what? You're being healed. The Word of God is healing you. It's changing you, transforming you. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, which will result in the demonstration of ultimately the perfect will of God. And he shall be, verse 3, Psalm 1, as like a tree. See? You meditate upon the word day and night, you'll be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth fruit in season. How many know fruit doesn't come in year round? You got a fruit tree? Anybody here got a fruit tree? One? Two? We can be here 30 minutes or we can be here two. Three? Okay, three's good enough. Three witnesses. Okay? He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Fruit is not all year round, is it? Anybody? Fruit's not all the way all the time. You don't have fruit all the time. Fruit comes in season. But watch this. Its leaf also shall not wither. You know what? You may not be bringing forth fruit all the time, but you get that Word of God in you, and it begins to transform your mind. Your leaf will not wither. You'll not be disappointed. You'll not be under the gun. You'll not be knocked down and destroyed and weakened without being able to recover. Because the Word of God gives you hope. The Word of God gives you hope. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly shall or are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Back to the ungodly are not like that. The ungodly have no root, no foundation. They're just like the chaff that the wind blows away. You have no foundation. You will have no fruit. You will have no life. This Word of God is life to you. It's seed. It's got fruit in itself. It'll produce. It'll produce fruit. It'll produce in you a kingdom harvest. It'll produce in you a kingdom harvest. Just avail yourself of it. Like John said earlier, he said, you know, I don't understand everything I read. Well, praise God. Somebody will help you. Philip came along, you know, to the Ethiopian eunuch. I don't even know what I'm reading. And somebody will come along and share it with you. Somebody will come along and reveal it to you. Put it in you, and then God can reveal it to you. If you don't put it in you, God can't reveal it to you. It's not in there. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, its leaf shall not wither, whatsoever he does shall prosper. And the ungodly are not so, like the chaff the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And okay, there's one that was right here, and I'm just trying to leave me. Okay? So now, you bring forth fruit in your season, leaf shall not wither. Your leaf shall not wither. And whatever the other scripture was, I'm sure it was great, but I can't remember. One last thing. Oh, there it is. Wow, that was weird. Just open the Bible, there it was. Just open the Bible, and there it was. Here's a good sermon title. Not for this one, but could be. Why not? I just opened the Bible and there it was. What, the Bible? No, the Word of the Lord. It's like if a tree falls in the forest, there it lays. God is so full of good wisdom. Therefore, being just, Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Good. Thank you, Jesus. We're at peace with God. He's at peace with us. God loves me. I'm justified by faith, and me and God are at peace. We're having a party. I'm in his tent. Hallelujah. He likes having me. He likes having me over. We're not having a fight anymore. I'm not against him, and he's not against me. Hallelujah. I have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. No more war. There's no more enmity between me and God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. By whom also, everybody say also, we have access. Everybody say access. Do y'all like that word like I do? Access is good. Access is really good. Access means you get in where you probably couldn't have got in before. By whom also, so we got peace with God, but we also got something else. We got access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So not only are we at peace with God, but we have grace. Remember when Paul said, God, take this thing away. God said, hey, I got a new deal for you. My grace is sufficient for your what? My grace. I'm bringing out a new product. My grace is, have you considered my grace? It's sufficient for you. Really? Never tried that before. I've always tried like getting you to get rid of the problem. I've always tried like, God! And he said, this time, don't be in such a hurry. See, Job found this out. Don't be in such a hurry. Let's just kind of try something new. How about my grace is sufficient for grace? Well, gee, I've never really heard of that. I've never really considered that. I just like it where I cry out and you take care of the problem. Yeah, but I can't depend on you for anything else. You're always crying out. You know, I'm always busy taking care of your problem. But now he says, no, let's try this. My grace is sufficient for you. Okay, so that's over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You can read that. And it says, we have access by faith, Romans 5:2, into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope. That is, we have an expectation of the glory of God. So we have access by faith into the grace wherein we're standing, and then we have hope because we are trusting that the glory of God is going to be made manifest. We're not afraid that we're going to miss out. We're not afraid that the thing that we tried to get rid of is going to overwhelm me. Nothing can overwhelm me. Say that. Nothing can overwhelm me. Nothing can overwhelm me. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the... Hallelujah. So he says this, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, Romans 5:3, and not only that, watch this. I have a few more tricks up my sleeve. Not only that, but we glory in tribulations. Oh! No one, don't say that. Not only that, but we rejoice in tribulations. We have hope in the glory of God. And not only that, watch this. Yoo-hoo! Here comes a tribulation. Whoa. Not a problem. Here comes trouble. Here comes a debt. Ooh, not a problem. Here comes temptation. Not a problem. Here comes sickness. Oh, that one got me. But it's not a problem. You know what? It's not a problem. Oop, here comes another one. Car wreck. Took my leg off. Not a problem. Even if there's big troubles and the ones you don't even look like they can be fixed. You know what? No problem. How about big troubles you can't fix? How about big problems that just look like that's the end of the world? No problem. That means you've transformed out of this world and into the kingdom of his dear son. From kingdom to kingdom. Old kingdom, new kingdom. rejoicing, praising Him. Not only that, we glory in tribulations also, knowing this, that tribulations work patience. Patience produces experience in that grace. And grace, or experience, produces more hope. Hope is that continued, fervent, bigger, fatter, more intense expectation that nothing can overwhelm me, because hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto me. Father, we just thank You this morning for Your mercy and Your grace. We thank You for the manifestation of Your glory. We thank You, Lord God, right now for the hope that is on the inside of us, because that we have been transformed by Your wisdom, by Your understanding, by getting wisdom, Father, by getting Your word, by getting Your truth. And Father, we thank You that right over here, it says, Son, forget not My law. Let your heart keep, guard, observe. Make of great value My commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and of man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel, your body, and life to your bones. Father, we magnify You. Let's stand together. We magnify You, we praise You, we glorify You. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord God, that we trust in You. We cast all of our cares upon You. We give You praise, Lord God, that there is none like You, but You have delivered us out of the hand of the enemy, out of the hand of this world, out of this world into the kingdom of Your dear Son. Thank You for delivering to us the Word. Thank You that You've caused us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we might meditate upon Your Word day and night, becoming transformed, that we might prove and demonstrate and bring forth fruit, good, acceptable, perfect, 30, 60, 100-fold. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We praise You and give You glory and honor. In Jesus' name, Father, if there's anybody today who needs prayer this morning for these things, so Father, give me that hope. Give me that. Thank You for that hope. Thank You for that joy. We teach You to thank You for these things. Come down. Get prayer for your health. Get prayer for your mind. Get prayer for your needs. Get prayer. So say, Lord, I want to say these things. Somebody to agree with me. And we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, and now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen.